Welcome back to episode 5, the Minnesota recap here on the Field Pass. This is Dan. Alongside me, I have Mikey and John. And boys, is it basketball season yet?
Not quite yet, Dan.
Not yet.
I think we're what, a little over 2 weeks away?
Yeah, over 2 weeks away.
We're getting close. Io Kofi coming back. It's exciting, you know. Top 10 team. A lot of hype.
Yeah, and not to go off path here, but I saw that they were, I believe, first week in December, we got Baylor and Duke.
Those are two top-tier teams.
We win those, might be looking at a number one team in Champaign.
That would be nice. I think all of Illini Nation could use use a little boost and some winning around
some
there.
Some winners,
right,
yeah.
Right about
yeah.
now.
A little pick-me-up.
That's right. Well, we do have a lot to talk about. Minnesota came to town, and they took it to the boys this week. PJ Fleck was rowing the boat all over the field, and it got ugly there for a little bit. How do you guys feel about the effort from the Illini this week?
Man, that was tough to watch, honestly. You know, I was super excited, or not super excited, but I almost had some sort of glimmer of hope after last week. Just, you know, seeing our offense look good at times and then obviously look bad at times. So I was excited. I was pumped up. I had like that pregame feeling, you know, that we were going to go out and just dominate. And, you know, we just never got it going on offense. And, you know, it was kind of sad to see, you know, to be honest. And, you know, you expect better out of those guys. And, you know, at some point, you know, we got to stop saying, you know, it's time to turn it around, because we've been saying that for, you know, 4 to 5 years now.
Yeah, we talked about it on I can't remember, not that it really matters, I can't remember whether it was with our podcast or it was Roberts when he introduced us, but we talked about how in 2017 those guys that were benched in order to, you know, get those younger guys playing time, it was kind of like that, not like a tribute to them, but you would hope that you would at least be able to, you know, show something that's better than what those guys were as freshmen and sophomores. Like, you got guys out there who, I don't know, like the Christian DeLauros of the world, who were maybe not getting as full-time snaps, and maybe they, I know he would bounce around practice squads, but maybe he's, you know, on an actual roster if he gets, you know, full-time snaps instead of, you know, getting, you know, pulled here and there. And it, not that that really matters, but you would hope that when you play all those guys in 2017, that you do not then in year 5 of a coach have 12 penalties for 120 yards against a team that you are, two teams that are 0-2, two teams that are dealing with struggling issues on defense, two teams that, you know, have the ability to have the offenses that can put up points. Now, granted, you would like to be able to excuse it with having a four-string quarterback in and saying, oh, well, you know what, Caron just didn't go out there and get it done, and, you know, it was a good effort. But that's not the case. The fact of the matter is that they went out there and they made mental mistakes and they made dumb errors, and that's a direct reflection of the coaching. And I don't really know like what else to say. It's not like we need to get into like a bash Lovey or a bash any of the coach, like, because that's not really like what we're here for. But at the same time, there just needs to be some kind of change on the team, and it's not even a fair amount of it is schematics. That's true. But some of that is just maybe they are trying to make the adjustments, but because there isn't a certain amount of accountability on the team, that guys just either aren't focused or aren't making the right plays because they know that they're not going to be held accountable for it. I personally don't know, but to have that kind of effort when you are 0-2 and your season is essentially on the line, like, now it's okay, we're going to have to hope for a miracle in terms of getting out with a winning season now. 5-4 is pretty much a pipe dream, but you're going to have to go on a run and only lose to Ohio State now. And I don't think any of us here are really thinking that that's super realistic. But that's the thing, is if you're coming into a game 0-2 against another team that's 0-2, and that's the effort that you give, I'm kind of at a loss for words and very frustrated with the way things are.
Yeah, the thing that bothered me the most was, you touched on it, the penalties. I mean, you're talking about a team coming back that has the experience, that's been around, and, you know, this is supposed to be the step forward year, and they come out there and there's 12 penalties and guys look like they don't know, you know, what's going on. That's the frustrating part, at least for me, because if you give effort and, you know, you get beat, there's, you know, Rashad Bateman makes an incredible catch in the end zone. That's a great play by him. You tip your cap. But when you're making the little mental mistakes and you're supposed to be the experienced team out there, that's what bothers me the most.
John, Dan, I mean, you guys both hit the nail on the head there. I mean, it's just, you know, it's inexcusable. You know, I think there was another roughing the passer, I believe, on Deion Payne and third down. And it's like, what are you doing? You know, we're already 0-2. We can't go out there and beat ourselves. And when you start having issues like that, it's, you almost lose hope, you know? And I hate saying that because, you know, we all love the team, you know, we all want them to do well. Yeah. But it's just, man, it's tough to even talk about without getting, you know, extremely upset.
Well, I think too, the fact that football is like the most team oriented sport. And Mikey, I'm sure you can speak to this with how much you've endured with your playing career. But because I'm sure that there's a little bit of a fraction within the guys as well. And you want, and there are guys who are trying to press and get guys fired up, but they might not be performing. So then the other guys are looking at them and like, you know, what are you doing? But at the same time, you like all need to be unified and all trying to go out there and make a play. And if some guys are just kind of dismissing, there's obviously a lot of different things, but winning would cure all, but it's also one of those where I'm sure there's just, you know, everyone's feeling it and people are either trying to press or just not trying to worry too much. And it just, that's when you kind of start to, it starts to compound, I'm sure, and spiral out of control.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I definitely think it's worry mode right now for the team. Cause you know, they are 0-3. Defense looks horrible. Offense looks horrible. You know, special teams, they're looking okay. Obviously, you know, we got Blake Hayes, this top punter in all the land, although he did have a shank or two last weekend.
I was going to say, even that was like uncharacteristic because like Liggs called them over maybe to reprimand everyone because they had some weird things happening with like the huddle, and then the play clock's running and then they rush out there and Blake probably rushes a punt off and it goes like for maybe 30 yards or something like that. And you're like, that's not what we want to see.
Yeah. It seemed like it was all bad on Saturday, and you know, that's frustrating, like you said, especially the guy like PJ Fleck in town, and you want to come out and show him that Lovey's plan can work too. And you know, you end up, I think there's almost at this point too, there's some sort of stink to the program where, you know, the guys see the outside noise, everyone's like, well, maybe this is just who we are as Illinois, and I'd like to see him come out and, you know, use that as motivation maybe this upcoming week. But it's hard when, you know, you're 0-3 and you've been trying and you have, you know, things just aren't going your way. You have injuries, you have COVID, and it's kind of just a mess out there. And I'm just hoping that that they can find something to light the fuse, because it's been a tough watch this season.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, just going back to last week's game, you know, the offense couldn't get anything going other than, you know, Epstein's, you know, 63-yard run or whatever. We would have only had 65 or 67 yards, you know, going into the half. And that's – you can't win a game like that, you know. And the defense, you know, they're out there. There's so many holes. Guys are out of position. You know, you're losing your one-on-one battles constantly. You know, it's 50-50 balls or 80-20 balls in favor of the offense. You know, there's a lot of stuff that needs to be corrected if you know, we want to not only win this game, but win a game the rest of the season.
Yeah, it was rinse and repeat. And I saw for the secondary, Rashad Bateman burned us quite a bit, and Pro Football Focus had him rated as the number one receiver of the week, which, you know, seems like a common theme this year.
I don't even think Tanner Morgan was that great. If like kind of a hot take, but he did not look as crisp as he did last season watching Minnesota games. He was still putting the ball where it needed to be, but it wasn't like he was, you know, throwing dime pieces and making it so that, you know, it didn't look like Graham Mertz 2.0, in my opinion. He looked like there were still some beatable throws. He was still kind of, you know, double clutching and could have gotten, if you have a little bit more of a pass rush or something like that. I don't know, but it didn't seem like a game that should have gotten that out of hand that quickly, or that easily, I should say. Because, I mean, there was maybe some life there at the end of the first half, but that's just maybe a story that Illini fans tell themselves all too often. Well, if we get a couple touchdowns here and we're going into the half down 14. We get the ball to start the second half, and then we get score, stop, and we're right back in it. And then, of course, what happens? They just come out and we can't score. We drove down and then had fourth and goal from like the
48.
Yeah, the 48.
Plus two in the turnover differential, and you still were lacking quite a bit to the Gophers this week. That's tough to see.
Yeah, because you know we've touched on this before. We've lived off those turnovers. You know, even last year we had so many turnovers that our defense caused, and without those, you know, you don't win most of, if not all, of those games. So it's good that we're getting turnovers. It's good that we're plus two in the margin. But you know, when the offense can't get stuff going, and you know, it seems like if the defense isn't causing a turnover, they're letting up a 10 play 60 yard or 70 yard drive or a one play 40 yard touchdown. You know, it's hit or miss, you know, and that's kind of been the narrative so far this season.
I got a question. So when Caron Taylor fumbles that ball and it goes, you know, however many yards back, and you got fourth and goal and you're punting, which is just all the time. That's the other thing too. That's embarrassing, because then you got people who don't even watch Illinois football just clowning.
You got people on Twitter.
Exactly. And that's just like, you know, you don't want to see that. Like, you talk about confidence. Like, the team actually, like, the one thing I was thinking about is the team had confidence last year when they went out, when they figured it out, they kind of got right, and they won that four-game win streak, and then they played well against Iowa. And if Brandon Peters doesn't get his clock clean, maybe they, I'm not saying they win, but they at least had a chance. And then Northwestern, you know, once again, if you maybe have more people, not to like play revisionist history, but they seem to be a team that if they have momentum, they, and now it's just, all right, now you're just adding to it because you're having these plays that guy, we've talked about it, but guys are on Twitter. Like, they're going to see that stuff. They're going to see that people are talking about fourth and goal from almost midfield. And that's just not going to do any wonders for program confidence. And I personally just don't like that, because that's just going to allow them to go even deeper into that hole.
I kind of hope this this episode offends these guys and you know, sparks them or something, because they might need more than that, but they just need to change the mentality and go out there and, I don't know, just don't care and play hard and play like they're going to win the game. Like, act like you're going to win the game going into the game, and you know, maybe we see something different. It just seems like guys are hanging their heads and they know where this thing's going to end up, and they just kind of letting it run.
Oh, but yeah, I never got to my question. Sorry, not to cut you off, but I went on my tangent, and then was just so frustrated that I completely, in a blinding rage. Just,
all right, we've been
but,
there.
So my question was, when you see that happen, and you see Caron can't grip a football, like he's visibly like going to his right hand. Like, you know that he's playing with, he's not really, like, he's
some
trying
sort of
to be tough and play it through it. Yeah, and I mean, anyone who's at their funny bone hard enough, like, you know how that feels when it just kind of keeps radiating through your elbow into, like, your forearm, and you can't really feel your pinky and your ring finger. That's probably what happened. But when you see him not, he can't grip a football. Like, what, because I was thinking, you probably just pulled deuce at that. Like, if it's not going away, like, even if he is throwing on the sideline, he's like, oh, I can do it. Like, every athlete at any level is going to have, if they're a competitor, especially guys who are playing college football, are going to have the confidence in themselves that they can overcome that kind of adversity, which is great. And you love that, but you got to know the player, and you got to know like the injury. And when you see something like that happen, like he couldn't throw the football. So then like what happened? Like, so do you think that then that should have been, okay, we're putting Deuce Spannon for at least, you know, a couple series to see if it, maybe even if he doesn't go over well, then if Caron's hand clears up, then we put him back in. Like, what do you think that they should have done? Because I was kind of thinking it might be Deuce time.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. I think so as well. I mean, he's throwing the ball and wasn't even getting hit, and the ball was just slipping out of his hand. And you know, obviously, you know, the trainers, I'm sure, checked him out, told Coach Lovey Smith that, you know, he was good to go, because ultimately if he was injured to the point where he shouldn't be out there, the trainers would hold him back. And you know, Caron, competitor, you know, he's getting his shot. He doesn't want anybody to get in there, because, you know, he's finally getting it 3 or 4 years later, and he wants to hang on to it. He wants to keep it. He wants to, you know, attack it. And for whatever reason, they just left him out there. And, you know, if – I don't know. It's tough. You know, that I don't want to, like, bash on anybody's leadership, but sometimes being a leader is taking a step back in that situations and putting – allowing yourself to – your team to put the person in there who's going to give you the best chance to win. You know what I'm saying? Does it get, so I don't know. I definitely think, you know, we should have went the deuce route from there on forward.
Yeah. And at that point of the game, it's not like it was too early. We had seen a lot of Karan, right. And we, you know, things, he wasn't
making mistakes, but he wasn't winning you that ball game at that point.
No. And I think at that point you should, you know, if you're the coaches and then like you said, the hand situation, he fumbles it and then he throws a ball, you know, ball slipping out of his hand. It's at that point, I think that's where the coaching staff should look and say, okay, you know, he's had a few series in here. He's not, you know, he hasn't led us to too many scoring drives, and maybe you try to look for a spark or something. That should have been enough, I think, to warrant bringing in someone else just to change it up and get the guys kind of back focused at least.
Right. Yeah.
Totally agree.
They needed some sort of spark. And yeah, I mean, I'm just, the whole game that week was just, I don't know. It's tough to talk about it because, you know, I've been there, been in the program for 5 years, and, you know, I know what's going on in those players' heads right now, and it's not good. You're talking earlier, you know, the whole social media thing, you try to block it out, but, you know, it's tough not to see it. And, you know, when you read thousands of things about you, you know, even if they're not true, you somewhat start to believe it. They somewhat, you know, start to creep in the back of your mind. So, you know, it's this game this week is going to be extremely important for us.
Couldn't agree more. Yeah, I think it's I don't know. It just comes down to how disappointing and frustrating it is in my head that at this point it should be better. And Robert touched on this, and I'm sure, you know, 90% of the people who listen to this podcast follow everything Robert does. So you've probably already heard his From the Stands, and you've read his article where he was, you know, talking about hope. But it sucks because I would at least classify myself as an Illini realist, but also an optimist. Like, I always have that inherent hope while I try to anchor it in realistic expectations. I try and still find, like, you know, the areas that could be 50-50. I'll be the optimist in that situation. And now it just feels like all of that just was not coming. It's not coming to fruition, and who knows if it's ever going to come to fruition at this point.
Yeah, it's tough to keep looking for the bright spots at this stage. You know, you want to point out guys who played well, but when it's a couple bright spots amongst a sea of mediocrity, it's hard to find those and celebrate them at this stage.
Should we recap our picks of the week? Because we actually, I mean, I guess Craig didn't really reverse the jinx, but
Craig added his own jinx, I think, this week with Isaiah Gay.
We actually did all right. Jake Hansen, my personal pick, had a forced fumble, and Devin Witherspoon, Robert's pick, had a pick. So yeah. It wasn't all bad, but
Bebe had a nice touchdown. Chase Brown was out there for Mikey. You know, he was ripping off some decent chunks when he was out there. I thought he and Epstein both when they were carrying the ball, you know, yards per carry looked pretty good. And so our picks, I think, besides Craig, who had Isaiah Gay go down with an injury, weren't as cursed this week.
I really hope that Bebe either I hope he comes back next year. And that we figure out the passing game, because that when he caught that ball, like even before he made that move, you could, like, I don't know, like I just said it was a touchdown. Like, you could see that because he's done that enough times where he'll break those initial tackles, especially on like the curl. He's got good enough body control where he knows which way he's going to turn, and he's good with his acceleration, so he'll get and powerful enough too that he'll break those kind of arm tackles. And it sucks because you have that kind of weapon. Like, he is a great deep threat. He has had some issues with drops this year, but you have that kind of talent just sitting there on the outside, and it's not getting, like, granted, yes, you can excuse it a little bit because of the quarterback turnover, but man, it just stinks that for at least, it feels like years, it was like, oh, we've got some issues with drops, or we don't quite have the talent. Guys aren't getting open. And not that Josh is, you know, the best route runner in the world, but he's a guy who can make contested catches because he's so big and strong. And it feels like there's other guys, and even Kendrick Green, he's playing out of his mind too. Like, there are individual efforts, like you were just saying, Dan, that are going over well, and you don't want to, you know, get hung up on those because ultimately it's a team game. But you don't want to, like, it feels like you're wasting them in seasons like this where, okay, you know, if these guys try to go to the NFL or if they just leave because they don't want to go through another season of, you know, either mediocrity or below average performance, then it just feels like you're wasting those efforts where you had those recruiting wins. Or you don't want to be saying the same thing in the future with like a guy like Johnny Newton. It's like, okay, let's hope that we don't have 4 years where he's just stuck here, or not stuck here, but he's, you know, playing and he feels like he's, you know, running into a brick wall, metaphorically, because he would run through a brick wall in person.
He's a monster.
Because he's a beast. But he's metaphorically, he's probably just feeling like, all right, well, what am I doing wrong? Like, hopefully I get to the league, but, you know, I've been so productive. Like, what's going on here? And I just feel bad for guys like that because, man, it's just frustrating.
Yeah, I agree. You hate to waste, you know, any sort of talent you have. And, you know, you look at teams like Ohio State, they get, you know, 12 to sometimes 15, you know, guys in NFL camps the following year. And, you know, you want to build the program to where you're winning consistently, because ultimately anybody who goes and plays college football, you know, they want to get to the NFL, right? And if they weren't going to go through the, you know, 30, 40-hour weeks without having those goals of getting to the next level. So when you have talent and, you know, there'll always be the one-off situations, you know, like a Dewan Smoot where, you know, you get drafted in the second or third round, you know, Jihad Ward. But it's, you know, you got to start winning to consistently, you know, get those guys to the next level. And then, you know, that'll ultimately help you win those tough recruiting battles that we have in the Midwest.
Yeah, maybe that's something we touch on in like the postseason or something like that. Overall, like, you know, program issues and like the chicken or the egg with recruiting and wins versus talent versus wins and all that good jazz. But it stinks because, yeah, now, especially when you look at the future, not even just in the interim with, all right, we're underdogs to Rutgers, which is an embarrassment in and of itself, but, you know, how are you going to sell the program going forward to, like, you know, kids when you're trying to round out this class? Because it does not look good out there. But
no, not at all. Yeah, it's tough times being a fan right now, but
yeah, you don't know, mean to be all gloom and doom.
You gotta have hope. No, you gotta have hope. And who knows, you know, we could blow out Rutgers, who's looked pretty strong this year. You know, we could blow them out and, you know, might give us a new glimmer of hope, like you said, going forward. So I'm hoping that happens.
Yeah.
But
I mean, you flash back to last year and that seemed to be, you know, the fan base on edge at around this time. And then you got a big win against Wisconsin and you ripped off a few straight wins and everyone, you know, it turned the whole season around.
Right.
So you never want to count them out and give them a chance. You know, you bring your QBs back around and maybe things change. It's just hard to say. And right now it doesn't look good after the way things have started, but you know, I want to leave them a chance to leave the door open that they might turn this thing around.
Yeah. I guess my only counterpoint to that would be that, last year, it felt like every game was pretty competitive. Like, even, you know, they shouldn't have lost to Eastern Michigan, but they ended up losing close. They kind of blew it to Nebraska, even though the stats would tell you that they should lose that game, you know, more times than not. But they kept every game pretty close that they lost. I mean, I think Michigan was the only one that got out of hand late. But otherwise, you could find something where, you know, it was, okay, we're keeping this game close. Whereas now, this year, it's kind of been the opposite, where guys are just, or, you know, the effort isn't there and we're getting blown out and the holes are very much so there and you're
oh,
seeing
yeah.
them. And it's not really giving me hope that we can, you know, go on a similar run against, you know, okay, I can see a path where we beat Rutgers and maybe do well against them and not blow out Nebraska, but get a win against them. And then, you know, try and hold fast against Penn State or Ohio State and then figure it out from there against Iowa and Northwestern. And then, okay, you know, we're right back in the thick of it, but I don't know. You see that defense, you hope that the offense figures it out, but you know, you can't tell for sure. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that, but you know, I think too, like, teams got to learn how to win. You know, each year you've got to understand, and it's tough to even explain what that means, but you know, once you get that first win and you understand, you know, we can do this a lot, then you know, going forward, you know, you build that confidence back up in there that you can go out there and you know, stack wins similar to what they did last year, you know, beating Wisconsin, figuring out, you know, putting that confidence in them, even if, you know, it's just in the back of their mind, you know, subconsciously, that, you know, they can go out there, compete with any team in the country, you know, and that's what they did last year. And, you know, hopefully we can start that off this week with Rutgers to, you know, turn the program around this year.
Yep. Well, I mean, I feel like we've kind of gone over everything at this point. You know, there's not a whole lot other than despair and sadness yeah. that we're gonna get out. I mean, kind of tried to touch on some of the bright spots, but I feel like this is putting a bow on it in terms of the week that was against Minnesota, and maybe we should just let folks enjoy the interview with Riley O'Toole at this point, because it's just going to be more sadness.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's kick it over to that. We now welcome on a very special guest joining us. We have Riley O'Toole coming to us live from Oklahoma City. Illini quarterback, great. Welcome on, first guest to the Field Pass. How's it going, Riley?
It's going great. Thanks for having me on, guys. I appreciate it. Looking forward to it.
We have a lot to talk about, and you know, a lot of quarterback talk. So we thought no better guest to bring on than you, someone who's very familiar with you know, a cast of quarterbacks and rotating in and out as the Illini have seen this season. So we wanted to get your thoughts. You know, hear what you have to say about, you know, where the Illini stand right now. 0-3. A lot of quarterbacks in there. What have you seen so far from this team and from these quarterbacks?
Yeah, I mean, obviously limited play from just having one game with Brandon Peters and Isaiah. But, I mean, I think the guys came in, whatever, Robinson and Taylor came in. Robinson kind of limited time when he came in, but looked like he was moving the ball pretty well. And then Taylor, I was – honestly impressed with how he played. I know just from my experience, typically one quarterback gets 95% of the reps during the week, and then the second string guy gets 5%, typically very limited live reps in practice. So to be a fourth string quarterback coming in and playing, I think, pretty dang well for the circumstances, it's been pretty cool, and happy for a guy like that. That's especially an in-state kid. I definitely have a soft spot for the in-state guys that stay home. But other than that, not a ton of great things to see. But like I said, tough situation to be in, and I'm sure he's going out there trying to make these great plays and do what he can, knowing that there's some guys coming back, and as soon as they get back, I'm sure they'll be taking the reps from them. So
yeah, Riley, I mentioned this on our last show. I thought Karan, you know, 2 weeks ago, I thought he did play pretty well, and I was worried for him going into this game against Minnesota. And you can definitely touch on this more, but you know, when, cause the reason why I was a little more worried for him is because he was going into the game knowing that, you know, he was going to be the starter. He had a million things going through his head versus, you know, when you're fourth string and then, you know, ultimately get bumped to second with all the COVID cases, and then the starter goes down and you got to get thrown in there, there's not much for you to think about. You just got to go play ball, right? And I thought, rightfully so, I thought Karan did not have the best game this weekend. From the mental side of things, does that play a big part, you know, when you don't get those reps versus when you do?
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, I think I was a perfect example of that, as someone that played in a ton of games over my 4 years, but started very few. And one game that clearly sticks out would be Nebraska, your freshman year, my senior year. And that was like the first week where, dating back, first week really, I guess my sophomore year, we had a couple games that I started. But that week, I was like super pumped. Cause it was like my first start, and then we go down and score on our first drive, and then we get the ball back again, and we're like in the red zone. And I throw like a stupid pick, just someone that's probably started a bunch of games, probably either runs it or throws the ball out of bounds. But someone in my position that most of my career is coming in after blowouts or for one play when Nate's helmet got knocked off, I would go in there, and it's just it, like you said, it is a totally different mindset being in there for the full game and realizing that you don't need to score in every single drive, you don't need to have a home run every single play. It's okay to take a sack, hold on to the ball, whatever, throw the ball away. So like you said, I remember I struggled at Nebraska, and it was kind of different knowing that you're playing the whole game and stuff like that. And when you're thrown in the middle of a game, you're just kind of like, well, I have nothing to lose. So it's like this unfortunate circumstance. No one really expects much from me, and especially when you go out there and play well the first time, like Karan did. And then everyone kind of had, oh, if he has a full week of practice, he'll probably play better. Mm-hmm. But so definitely know exactly what you're talking about.
When you when you'd get thrown in there, and you know, let's say you weren't the starter, but you'd have to come into a game for a few snaps, or you were splitting time, did you ever feel like you need to just come in there and make a play, or feel like you do it, you know, maybe you're not yourself because you're trying to do too much? You're in the spotlight, it's your chance to prove yourself, so you get out there and you know uncharacteristically try to make, you know, some extra, force some passes in there or something like that.
Yeah, without a doubt. And I think that's part of the reason why by my senior year, I kind of got dubbed like a turnover machine, because over the years some games I'd come in and we'd drive the ball down, but then a lot of times I would throw a stupid interception because my mindset was like, I want to go out there and show that I can be a guy that you can count on. Or like a lot of times I'm like, I wouldn't be sliding. I would jump
over guys.
Yeah. I would get banged up for being in for like four plays. And then the next day it felt like I had played a whole game because I was running around like an idiot. But yeah, like you said, totally. I went in there just essentially just playing reckless. And when you look back on it now, it's definitely did not give the coaches confidence in me. And definitely probably hurt my chances of ever winning a starting job come the next season. But hindsight's 2020, I guess.
Yeah. Now, something I wanted to ask, kind of building off what Mikey was talking about last week on the pod as well, in terms of the playbook maybe shrinking a little bit for Karan, but also him having a little bit more command than maybe a guy like Deuce Spann. Did you feel like maybe in instances where you were going in just as like a, you know, getting a couple plays or a couple series or some kind of mop up duty? And was the play calling a little bit more simplified because they weren't exactly preparing for you to be in the game? Whereas the couple times you were talking about where you started, maybe they were like, oh, well, Riley, not that you didn't know the playbook, but they were thinking, sure, okay, he's got more of a command of it. We'll open up more. And maybe that was, I don't know, good or bad for you.
Yeah. Well, a lot of times, I guess it was probably per situation. Like I said, a lot of times I was in the game because the game was out of reach. So they would probably just ran super basic plays because they're like, we're out of it. Let's get out of here, essentially. Let's just get out of this game, give Riley some reps. But I mean, I think a good coaching staff will change kind of the offense to around your strengths. So I remember when Wes went out, we did a lot more read option because I wasn't necessarily great at it, but I was good enough. And that wasn't something we necessarily had with Wes. But then also we were taking a lot more shots down the field. So, but it does kind of hurt because when you're not taking shots downfield, the defense isn't going to change the way that they play against you. So I'm not saying I could throw the ball like Wes, but technically, I could probably throw the ball 60 yards, whether it's accurate or not.
you get it down there.
Yeah, it's difficult. And then, yeah, with a full week, I'm sure the coaches put more on your plate with making checks and all that stuff. And obviously, that plays a role. So I'm sure they changed it a little bit if you have a full week to prepare, for sure.
Yeah, all right. Riley, so – you know, you and I, when we played in 2014, I think we were top three in Big Ten in passing, maybe total yards. Like, we had a pretty good offense. Obviously, this season, there's been some struggling going on. And, you know, we've had a ton of players out. If you were the quarterback on this starting team, if you were the starting quarterback, what would be your message to those guys in the locker room? I mean, you know, we talked earlier, they're, you know, given 7.5 points or whatever against Rutgers this weekend, first time Rutgers has been favored in a Big Ten game in the last 6 years. So if you were holding the torch, leading the team, what would kind of be your message, you know, going forward?
Yeah. I mean, I think ultimately, in a game like this, it's much different than a speech I would give if we were playing like Ohio State or something. Like this game, it's not, they definitely don't have better players than we do. Essentially it's how bad do you want it? What do you want your legacy to be? Like if I was a senior, I guarantee it, I'd go out there as a quarterback and lower my shoulder first drive of the game just to show everyone that, like, let's go out and get this thing instead of slide. I don't know. I feel like the team just needs a spark for sure. Like,
yeah.
I mean, we've been in that position where you're just kind of getting roasted and beat terribly, especially in games where you had a chance. But, I mean, there's got to be guys on this team, like, this season could go one way or the other. Are we going to go 0-for or not? And this is certainly a game to that Illinois needs to win to kind of keep the spirits up. And so my message would be, how bad do you want it? What do you want your legacy to be? Let's just go out and fight. Who cares if – I mean, everyone has players out. It's not really a great excuse. Obviously, we have key players out, but everyone's going through the same thing, and everyone was fighting to have a season due to the craziness going on. But just be happy to be playing and have an opportunity to, like, you came to Illinois to play football. So let's go out and fight.
As someone who's been in a locker room, and, you know, there's obviously ups and downs, when you're kind of at one of those downs and the outside noise starts creeping in, you hear a lot of, you know, talk and probably online. I know it's hard for these kids, and, you know, in general, when you hear people talking about you, you want a natural curiosity, listen in, see what everyone's saying. How hard is it to block that out? And even, can you even block that out? Or is that something that you just got to deal with and try to ignore?
Yeah. I mean, I guess in today's day and age, like, I remember just talking every now and again with my buddies, like, we I feel like Twitter came out maybe my freshman year at college, and I was just like, thank God I didn't have this in high school, just especially with that high school drama. But, like, to answer your question, I guess that doesn't answer your question at all, but
you're getting there, I think. Yeah,
you can't, like, nowadays, there's no way you can't see it. So, whenever I think of, like, having our down years, and, like, especially as we're getting older, I always think of Teddy Karras. I thought he was probably one of the best leaders I've ever been around. But he was just so great at, I mean, win or lose, that Sunday when we were coming in to lift and watch film, we're on to the next week. And he was just amazing at keeping that your head forward and honestly blocking out the outside noise. Like, who really cares what anyone's saying about us? Like, everyone in this locker room, where we should all be going towards that same goal. But yeah, you see all the noise, and obviously it hurts a little bit more when you're losing, but at the same time, when you're winning, everyone seems to be singing your praises too, so you can't really have it both ways. So
were you a guy who would peek at the line, like Mikey said, seeing Rutgers is favored? Would you would you get a quick peek and not let anyone know, but just see what people are thinking?
I never did. I guess I never really, like, I don't know. I guess I never really thought about it much. And now that I am out of sports, I'm looking at spreads all the time. And so but for some reason, I remember Tim Knox, my sophomore year, I think my first start ever at Arizona State, when they announced Nate wasn't starting. He was like, all right, Nate's worth like 7 points or something like that. And I was like, gee, thanks for giving me confidence. So
yeah.
But
yeah, see, I never looked at him either. I never even thought about looking at him, but now it's like, I feel like that's all I do. Like, yeah. when I'm tuning into a game, especially with two teams I have no clue about, I'm like, who's supposed to win this, you know? Right. So I just check the line.
It seems to be less taboo now. I think a few years back, you know, it was a little less publicized, but now you see it on ESPN's even talking about it. They'll even put it on their broadcast nowadays. So I think it's changed, you know, in the football landscape too. So that's probably a factor.
Yeah.
Here's a question I wanted to ask you, because I see some comparisons or similarities to Aaron Bailey the situation, you know, when he was on the team and they kind of had some packages for him where they'd bring him in, and you got a guy like Isaiah Williams on this team where he's a running quarterback, and, you know, Rod likes to bring him in every now and again to kind of change things up. Is that something, as, you know, someone who's the starter and gets pulled out for maybe a series or two, that affects your rhythm, or are you able to deal with that and not have an issue?
It definitely affects your rhythm. And I mean, I've been on both sides. When I was a freshman, they would have packages for me. I guarantee you it would throw Nate's rhythm off. And then I just remember, senior year of Minnesota, when West was down, Aaron and I were splitting reps during the week, and we had packages for him. And Minnesota, we were kind of driving the ball up and down the field, but we said, like, typically, like, from my experience, the times when coaches would give players packages, they would say, like, for example, you'll get the first series of the second quarter or something like that, or first series coming out of halftime. So Minnesota, we were kind of driving up and down the field, and then the second quarter hit and Aaron gets the first drive, and it's like, I mean, he comes in with no rhythm also. So, but at the same time, Aaron's not going to be like, no, I don't want to go in. Right. So, I think it's tough. Obviously there's a few examples of it being successful, but, I'm not a huge fan of it, but at the same time, every time I always get fired up when I see Isaiah Williams in there, because he's electric, and I'm just excited to kind of give him the reins and just see what he can do, just because when you're in there for a couple plays, it's tough.
Yeah, small sample size makes it difficult, and I'm thinking, you know, we'll see, but, you know, if he's back from his contact tracing this week, it might be his chance at the quarterback position for an entire game. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. I know it's a small bit of hope, but a lot of the Illini fans are looking forward to seeing their highly touted player that they brought in, they've been talking about for a while, get his chance to shine.
Sure. If anything, we'll definitely have some exciting plays to watch.
Yeah, let's hope. Riley, I just wanted to piggyback off your comment there. I know as like a receiver, like when you're in rhythm there, just, you know, going back to 2014 and, you know, you're in rhythm, you're moving the ball up and down the field. And then next thing you know, there's a new quarterback in there. It does, you know, throw a lot of things off, especially when they're two different styles of quarterbacks. So I am not a huge fan of it either when the offense is in rhythm, but when, and you know, you're stalling out, you can't get any points on the board. I am a little more in favor just to get some sort of, you know, spark going. That's just more of the receiver side of it. But you'd like the consistency with the same quarterback just because, you know, it's what you majority rep, you know, during that week of practice. And whenever you throw someone else new in there, it just, you know, throws everything off, but, you know, could provide a big spark.
Right.
Sometimes is needed.
And that's the tough decision. Like, that's why coaches are coaches, because you put another guy in there, you take a starter out, and, like, I just keep going back to my freshman year because I was the guy getting it put in weird situations. They essentially would just throw me in there until I messed up. So whether that was two drives or three drives, and I inevitably always did throw mess up somehow and get pulled. But, like, but then you're back to your starter who's been sitting on the sideline for three series, and then he's cold, you know.
Right.
So if it doesn't work out, then I feel like it puts you even more behind the eight ball. But at the same time, like, sometimes you're desperate. You need a spark. And so
kind of going off that, do you think that more of like an overall, I guess it kind of depends on the athlete, but what we saw from Karan, I mean, even when he came in last week, it just as like a spot duty and didn't think he was going to be starting. He was kind of trying to make plays and that led to turnovers. I know in the last game, just like a specific example, maybe he was trying to do too much and threw the ball when he was 6 yards past the line of scrimmage. Is that one of those where, I know you've just talked about how that was kind of your mentality, like you were trying to almost will the team with like a spark. Do you think that that's one of those where if Karan or even yourself, maybe just if you had more reps in practice, or if you had maybe more one-on-one time with the coaching or something like that, is that something that can be not coached out of you, because I'm sure you would always have that like gunslinger mentality in you.
Sure.
But do you think that that would have, like, that Karan, maybe just if he's getting a couple more weeks, maybe we'll see improvement? Or is that kind of, he is who he is, you're going to have to live with that in order to get some of the good?
I absolutely think that you would get more comfortable. But at the same time, like, what makes him great is being able to take those chances. But when he gets more reps, he knows, you would hope, the hope is that you know when to take those chances and when's the right time. So I absolutely think that the more reps you get in practice, the more comfortable you are. And also, I think a big thing is, and always kind of threw me off because it was always in the back of my mind, and whether that was just because I was just in my own head, but very rarely did, like when Nate went down or Wes went down, very rarely did a coach like say, we're going with this guy. And granted, whether they're doing that to throw the other team off, but like when you go out the first play of the game, they're going to know. But they never essentially like instilled confidence in, whether it was me or Aaron or me or Miles, let's say, like, we're just kind of like always looking over our shoulder, waiting for that mistake to happen. And then we knew, like, say we threw an interception, we're running on the sideline, like, okay, am I done? Like, am I not going back in the game? I think the only time they really ever announced like the starter was like, maybe going into Northwestern 2014, or maybe not even that. Maybe it was the bowl game. But I mean, for me, that just gave me confidence. Maybe that was just because it was 3.5 years of just kind of getting kicked down and struggling a little bit. But I think having the confidence of your coaches and them going out there, and they don't have to tell the public, but if they tell you, definitely gives you confidence. And maybe you don't try and make that extra play because they're like, we're going with you, we're sticking with you, instead of saying, hey, well, yeah, we'll see how it goes.
And then you're not trying to force it. Yeah,
exactly. If we're struggling, then Isaiah, like, stay ready or whatever. So I think, long story short, I think reps and practice are very, very important.
A few years removed now from playing college sports, you have picked up any hobbies, anything's keeping you competitive, and, you know, maybe
besides looking at lines,
right,
golfing, something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I golf.
Riley's probably on your level. Dan's a really good golfer too, Riley.
I remember seeing him at the Rich Harvest Farms NCAA championships a few years back walking around. So
yeah,
that's why I figured I'd ask. Masters coming up this week.
Yeah. Thought maybe they'd pull me in. But I play golf. I joined a golf club down here, so I just play more than I ever have. So
yeah,
that. But I help coach at a local like Catholic high school. I'm not able to help as much as I would like, but like go to a practice a week and then go to the games if I can, and then do an individual like quarterback coaching. And then I try and play if I can find a basketball run anywhere. Trying to do that.
Used to see you over at the Arc every now and again, getting some run in.
Absolutely. So I always thought John Gross might pick me up too.
That's right.
When they had like 10 guys hurt, I think, not 10 guys hurt, but they had a ton of dudes hurt, and that was when they brought like the manager and suited him up.
Oh yeah.
And this was like my spring of my. Or not spring. I think when I was a GA or whatever, and we would go play noon ball all the time. I was wishful thinking.
Noon ball. That's when like Foe Two and all those other guys would go up there, and you guys would ball out at the.
I was before him, so it was like Kamen Mitchell, Tyler Johns.
Yeah.
Embleton would play with us.
Pat. Nice. Knox wouldn't come up there, would he?
No, he's too important, too fragile.
That's true.
So how is it being on the other side, maybe with a headset on, or just, you know, coaching younger talent versus being the player out there? What's that been like?
I really enjoy it. I think I really like the high school age kids. I feel like there's personalities, I guess, but there's like selfishness is limited at that age, I feel like.
not big egos.
Exactly. And it's just fun, like, especially being down here. Of course, everyone, like, when the coaches told the team I was coming to help out, he told them I played at Illinois or whatever, and all these kids are like, where is Illinois? Like, who do you guys even play?
Oh.
Like, they don't even know, like, Big Ten. I was like, okay, we play Ohio State, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
You're gonna so it's just
get
just
that
Big
sales
12.
Pitch down if you
exactly
start picking up some recruits down there for us.
All right. Well, there's when Illinois beat Wisconsin, I actually wore this and like orange shorts, orange socks, orange shoes.
they all knew then.
Exactly. I was like, you better recognize.
Yeah.
And then I was like, wait till next year. We're going to take off.
Oh,
gosh.
That's right.
Now next year is here.
Yeah. That's right. this year doesn't count.
That's right. Yeah, big
asterisk. It's a wash.
All right. Well, thanks. Thanks again, Riley, for joining us here on the Field Pass. We'll hopefully have you back when the backup quarterback situation turns into where'd this guy come from, and you know, looking at a potential Heisman or something down the road. But
heck yeah,
thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I enjoy listening to you guys. So thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Riley. We appreciate it, man.
Thanks for tuning in to Episode 5, the Minnesota Recap. Please follow us on Twitter at The Field Pass. Give us a review, 5 stars, subscribe. Thanks.